ministering in a thriving church. They have a very, very strong men's ministry, men's core in that congregation as well. He actually is able to leave and come to places like this on weekends. He has people that actually can preach right there from the congregation, and just powerful men of God that are coming forth and ministering in this church. But also, Pastor Walter and Joyce, and they're actually going in different nations now, different states. They're doing marriage seminars. And he just tells me story after story about how so many men are seeing their families restored. They're seeing marriages restored. They're seeing their lives restored because some root things are being dealt with very much so in his ministry. And also in South Africa, he's had tremendous favor in that country. There's a church there, mega church of several thousand people. And he said the first time he went there, just men just lined the altars, just weeping because of the Spirit of God that touched them and the truths that came forth there, and some real good things took place, some lasting fruits has happened in that country. So he goes back there at least once a year. I also appreciate him joining me for overseas trips when he can do that as well. So this morning he's going to share from his heart, share from God's Word. Let's go ahead and welcome Pastor Walter as he comes this morning.
Well, good morning to you. Praise God. Can I go up here? I can put the thing. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to do my normal. I'm going to preach about 2 hours, and then we're going to let you go. And praise God. We don't want to keep you too long, so normally I do three, but I recognize you're not used to that. So we'll just do two, praise God, and just keep right on moving. So good to be with you again. Always good to be with Pastor Mike. I consider him a friend more than just a colleague. He's a friend to me. Love being around the man of God. And in fact, on this morning, actually, our men are meeting now, and the gentleman who would normally would be teaching, he had to all of a sudden work at the last minute. So another one of his ministers is teaching, and as he said, I'm so glad I can just pick and choose. I could have went right on down the line and pick another one, and praise God. So we train and raise them up that way so that the ministry is not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, whether I'm there or not, service going. In fact, I'm very disappointed if I leave and I come back and they tell me service was not that good. I'm really upset then, because that means I've done something wrong, praise God, and I want to make sure that we're doing it right. And we do. We have some wonderful men and women in that congregation that are very, very powerful. In fact, some of them, when they preach, I just kind of sit still like, wow, praise God, that was a good word right there. And that's what we want to see happen. I want to talk to you this morning about something that's very, very dear to my heart. It changed my life. And you'll hear me say that a lot of time, because how many, you know, when you're saved, you get a lot of changes start taking place. Amen. As you mature, you get another place. God speaks something else to you. I want to ask you a question this morning. What's in your garden? So if you would open your Bibles to Genesis 10, the second chapter, beginning verse 1. I hope you're ready for Bible study, because that's what we're going to do. But I want to just really prick your heart about something that most people never take the time to really think about. And I'll tell you what started me on this quest years ago, and it has blessed my life. Genesis 2, beginning at verse 1. You'll find that this is something that's very, very interesting. And I want you to listen. When I read the word, I'm always listening for something in particular that God wants to touch me in that particular area that day. Thus the heavens and the earth was finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all, notice this now, his work. Which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Verse 4, these are the generation of the heavens of the earth when they were created. And in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10, and the river went out of Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted, and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Bedellum and the Oxen Stone. And the name of the second river was Gihon. The same is that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. Verse 14. And the Lord, and the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Praise God. Can we just have a word of prayer? I just want to pray over this because I don't want to teach or preach. I want God to speak to us. And it's incumbent that I just invoke him to do this morning. Father, thank you. We're not here just for another gathering. We don't need to hear just another message. But Father, we need to hear you speak to us individually and corporately. And so therefore, we come and we open our hearts and mind to you. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may know what is the hope of your calling. We may know what is the riches of your inheritance in the saints this day. I thank you. I bind every spirit that will cause confusion. I bind every spirit that will try to blind the hearts and mind of men, that will hinder them from seeing the light of this glorious gospel. And it is my heart desire. Get glory, get honor for yourself. Get yourself a name, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What's in your garden? Now, God has placed in every man's garden resources needed to make him successful. It's very interesting when I look at this because, as you know, the first chapter talks about the creation. Here, it goes into a little more explanation telling us how and what God did. And it's very interesting to me because it says that God, Jehovah, planted a garden. God planted a garden. And so when I see things like, I want to know why. Why did you do that garden? Why did you do it? And so a garden, if you look at it in Hebrew here, means a fixed place. It means a place usually that's hedged in. And many times back in that time in Israel, they would take thorns, these thick as those of you who have traveled to Israel have seen those thickets are very long, but it kept the animals out. It protected it. Many times in Scripture, when you see God talking about a garden, he'll talk about how he hedged the garden in. And so it's no different here that God had did it. And then God placed the man in this prepared environment. God had a garden. But, I mean, why did God need to create a garden? And why did he need to put the man in this garden that he had created? God placed him in a certain location. And God placed this man within that garden. The Hebrew words here said that he put him in Eden, which means delight. And it also means, in the Greek, it means paradise. Well, what is Eden? Eden is a place where God walked. You remember the scripture said God walked and came down in the cool of the day? So it's a place, because that's where God had placed him. So Eden is a place that God walked. Eden is a place where God's presence is. Eden is a place where there is dominion and room because God made man to have dominion. Eden is a place of great wealth. Isn't it interesting that God, through Moses, goes through the detail to let us know there was gold where God placed it? Isn't that interesting? Why do we need to know that? You know, it's just a good land. Why did God go through, and not only gold, but there was precious stones? And God makes sure we know this. And God placed him there. And it didn't just say gold. It said it was good gold. It wasn't just gold. Amen? This was some good gold. Hey, praise God. And so it's very interesting. When I see that, I said, no, God, what are you talking about? Why do I need to know that information? Why did you give me that? What's the importance of it? And then Eden is a place of fertility. The ground was very fertile. It's a place of testing. It's a place of delight. And so God placed everything inside one man. And God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in an environment. Eden was a place of testing for man. Because we found that once he failed the test, what did God do? He extracted him from the garden. Is that right? And put an angel with a flaming sword so that he could not enter back in. Eden was a place that had been prepared for man. And if this man, I believe, would have continued, Eden would have continued to expand because God had already told him, go and dominate the earth. Now, very interesting, when all of this was going on, as you well know, Adam was by himself. There was no woman. Eve was not present. God dealt with the man. In fact, when you look at Scripture and you go back to the book of Luke, it begins to take the genealogy of Jesus and it traces all the way back to Adam. And it starts to say, who's the son of Heli? Who's the son? And when it gets to Adam, who is the son of God? Because Adam was not the seed of any man. Adam came directly from God. It's very powerful because the Bible tells us that God formed him on the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul, or the Hebrew word, a living nephesh. Now, watch this. What was in God came out of God and went into this man. And when it hit his body, it created a living soul. He was the son of God. Adam was as holy as God was. He could look God in the eyes and not bat his eye because he didn't feel any sense of shame. He had never sinned. You understand? And so he was the son of God. Very powerful. He walked, and science tells us, and we've talked about here even this previously, but science tells us that the best of us, the geniuses, only use about 10% of our brain capacity. That's the best, the geniuses, 10% right now of our brain capacity. The rest of us is hovering around, you know, a little lower there, praise God. This man used 100%. His intellect was unbelievable. And so God places him in this garden. It's a prepared place. It's a beautiful place. It's a place of riches. Everything he needed was there. And when in this garden, God gave him an assignment. And he told him, I just need you to make sure you do two things. I want you to guard and protect this garden. And I want you to cultivate it. It says something about the nature of a man. Because we as men, God gave us the upper body strength. We are guardians. We are to be the guardians of our homes. And God gave us this upper body strength for a reason. And he also said cultivate. Men cultivate. That's what we do. Amen. You give a boy a bike or you give him a car and say, now here's a car. You buy him. He's not going to leave that car like it is. He's going to cultivate that car, isn't he? He's going to have all kind of rims on it. He's like, what was wrong with the one I had? He don't like that steering wheel. He's going to put a different kind of steering wheel on it. And I know in the urban center, he's going to tint the glass. You know, and it's just like, that was a nice car I gave you. Why do you do all this? He's cultivating. Even when you and I know when I receive a bicycle, we didn't just leave that bicycle. You know, we changed the handlebars, right, streamers, you know, and they don't do streamers today, but they did in my time, praise God. And you did all kind of, why? Because we cultivate. You give them a new toy. Right on Christmas, and he just rolled it, and next minute he's taking the wheels off. He's inspecting that thing, man. He's going to do whatever. Why? Because there's something in us that causes us to cultivate. God will walk up to you in that time. He would have told you a tree. He said, now there's some furniture in the tree. There's a house in that tree, but you must cultivate it. You must go into that tree, pull out of it what you need. And so many times my wife don't understand. I remember my wife, she used to, when we had first got married, and something would go wrong with the bathroom. I said, I'll take care of it, baby. I put my tools on. She'd be like, oh, no. Because we don't know a whole lot, especially unless you were trained. And I was not trained. I promise you that. And so many times she would say, why don't you just call somebody? I said, listen, I can handle this. I'll take care of this. And probably about the middle of when water is all over the floor, everywhere is, babe, you might want to call a plumber. And now it's going to usually end up costing us more than it did when I started. But how many of you know that along the way I got better? She started calling me now. You need to take care of that. Why? Because there's something in us about cultivating. Do you know that God will never give a man ever. The finished product, everything God gives you and put in your life must be cultivated. And the first one would be your wife. She's a raw product, brother. Amen. If you hadn't discovered that now, you'll know. That's a raw product, son. And she must be cultivated. Amen. But that's part of the other part is guardian. That is, we have the upper body strength. And with this upper body strength, we are to guard our home. It used to be a time, I know with me, when my father came home, everything was right. I mean, we had a neighborhood that was tough. And I had kids who would be threatening me and everything. But when my daddy come home, I walk out on the porch like, yeah, like what? You know, I didn't do that till my father got home. Because in my mind, my father could beat anybody up. You know what I'm saying? My dad could whoop anybody in the world, you know. It wasn't necessarily true, but it was. And so my father came home, it was safe. It was protected. But nowadays, you and I know too often when the father come home, the children are run and they hide. Some of the ladies are made to stay because men will use physical strength to threaten them. And whenever we use what God gave us to guard and protect, we have become an abomination to God because we don't understand who we are and what our responsibility are as men. God gives every man a garden. And in that garden, everything you will ever need to carry out your assignment upon this people planet is already in the garden. You are not an accident. You were not just thought up. Your mother and father got together, but God brought you here. I taught several weeks ago, praise God, and I just went scripture upon scripture to teach how every person is planned for. And not only are you planned for, God has designed a certain design for your life. And when you discover that design, when you discover what you are wired for, what you're made for, it fits you like a glove. And when you do it, you are so fulfilled. And so I'm quickly, if God allows me to, I want to talk to you about your garden. And I want to talk about what you made and wired for. Because there's a difference between a job and your work. Did you see that it said God finished his work? And it's an amazing thing because the Hebrew word for work there is called melakah. And melakah is a very interesting word because it means one that is a deputy or a deputy ship. And what it simply means is that is one who works for another as a deputy. In other words, we know what a deputy sheriff is. The sheriff is the top officer, but there are deputies who carry out because the sheriff can't be everywhere at every time. So they have deputies who has the same authority, but they're working under the authority of the sheriff. Amen. So there's a deputyship and they can't just make up their mind what they want to do and what laws that's already carried out. And they must always be reminded that they're working for the sheriff's office and they carry themselves in a certain manner. They do their job in a certain way. Well, it's interesting because the word work there at the very beginning has a lot to do and with the Hebrew word and it's for deputyship. The work God has designed you to do is what you do for the glory of God. You are a deputy. You work to bring glory and honor. In fact, the New Testament talks about that. It said, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And what made me start on this quest years ago is I worked at a company. I was a purchasing agent, actually worked as a buyer. And I saw guys that I worked with, and when I would come in to work on Monday, these guys would be miserable, a lot of them, not all of them. And I said, what is their problem? I would come in on Monday, good morning. How you doing? Well, oh, man, good, man. Service yesterday, praise God. Man, the Spirit of God was in that place. Hallelujah to God. Man, the word came forth. Man, and they would look at me like, shut up. Because many of them was hungover. They were angry. They were mad they had to come to work. Watch this. They had got the house. They had the car. And their children was in college. They hated the job, but they couldn't leave it because they had to pay for the house. They had to pay for the car. And Junior was acting crazy in college already. We're trying to get him straight. And so I hated my job, but I've worked here too long, and I can't get out of it. So I'm going to wait until I can retire. See, a job you must retire from. Work is who you are. You can't retire from it. Work is who you are. It's what you do. I will not always be the senior pastor of Berean Family Worship Center, but I will always preach because that's who I am. I just tell my church, I get ready to chastise, and I get ready to say, and I said, now I'm going to talk to you, and I'll tell you. And I remember one time my children said, Dad, if you got to get us, go ahead, but please don't preach to us. I said, it is your good fortune to have a father that's a preacher. And I'm not just a preacher in the pulpit. I am a preacher. And so, do you understand what I'm saying? That's who I am. I was wired for this. I don't struggle with this because it's who I am. It's my work. It is my deputyship. It is what I do for my king. It's what I do to bring him glory and honor. It is when I do this, he shows up. Not because I'm such a great preacher, but I know who I am. I know what I was called to do. And when I do it, he manifests. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's an attorney, a police officer, a carpenter. That may be the call of God on your life to do. But when you do it, it's not a job. You work for a job for money. See, I would do this for nothing. Don't tell Berean, all right? Leave them alone. They happy, and I'm happy. Leave them alone. But I preached for years where there was no money because that's who I am. When I do it, I'm fulfilled. I was wired for it, made for it. Before the foundation of the world, he foreknew me. He had already called me to be this before I was a twinkle in my mother's eye. See, a job you have to retire from because you're tired of that. Unfortunately, many people after they retire die. They're waiting to retire so they can enjoy their life. And I'm enjoying my life now and then. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I get paid to do what I love. I mean, if I'm dreaming, don't wake me up. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I'm happy. And you know what? Usually when I speak to a crowd like this and I share this, you are not. You're working a job. Isn't it interesting that God said this? Now listen to the scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things he had been talking about, material things, shall be added unto thee. God said, I was out the store. I said, God, this ain't right. I'm working. I'm doing it. I ain't hardly doing it. And God said, well, who told you to do that? I said, well, God, I need a job. I got to take care of my family. He said, I know that. Your problem is you don't trust me. You cannot serve God and, what is it? Watch the scripture. You cannot serve God and mammon. Isn't it interesting? Because he equates mammon with God, which means there's a system. It's a worship. You can work for mammon, and that's your service to that God. But mammon will kill you. Mammon drives you. You work for money. If there's no money, you don't do the work. So mammon controls your decisions, not the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the thundering amens in this house. Glory to God. No. I already know when I do this, the wheels are turning. I understand that. God showed me this some years ago. When he showed it to me, it was one of the most phenomenal things I've ever seen. And the Lord showed me, said, most people work for mammon, and they operate in a mammon system, and they don't even know it. Mammon is controlling their lives. That's why he said, you can't serve God and mammon. If money makes your decision, then money is your God. I'd rather work for less and do what I was made to do. Because you know why? I'm going to live longer. I'm not stressed. This is a labor of love. I'm doing what I was wired to do and do what God called me to do. And you know what? God supernaturally shows up when I do it because I'm his deputy. He must stand behind me. It's not my work. is his. Is this making any sense? Can I go a little deeper with this? Can I show you? All right, I'm just trying to lay it out. I don't have time to give it all, but I want you to understand something. This is why that when I had to make changes, we went through an area in my wife of years. It was very difficult because we made changes. I left my job to take under half of what I was making just so I can go in ministry full time. I left my job, took less than half. Half would have been a stretch. How'd you like to take half of what you're making now and live on it? Well, some people have, haven't they? Because they were laid off or they were whatever. But I'm saying it's no joke. But some people did it because they had no choice. I chose this. I chose it by faith. And it was very difficult. In fact, there came a time, and we do this in marriage company. My wife came to me, and so my wife was still, she was a manager at one of the utilities companies. She working there. And she came to me one day, and she said, you know, I believe the Lord said I need to go part-time, so I just want to put that before you. I said, oh, okay. I went to the Lord, and I said, now, Father, you and I know your daughter has lost her mind. Now, we already know that. What I want to know is what I'm to do about this. What can I say to her to wake her up? Because we're already struggling, and she's talking about you say go part-time. And now we know that's not you. So one of the most phenomenal things happened, and God spoke to me in there and said that it's your responsibility to take care of your wife. Her first responsibility is to the home. That was not what I wanted to hear. It was not. Because, see, what it does, it goes against everything that society tells us today. And so I guess he knew what I was going to ask him, but he said, you know, let's go through the word. When he got through the word, I said, you know, this is the word, Father. So I went back to him and I told her, I said, sweetheart, listen to me. Not only can you go part-time, but if you need to quit that job, you quit it. It's my responsibility to take care of you. She said, well, no, I believe the Lord just said part-time. I said, you sure? Now? She said, yeah. I walked away and I uncrossed my legs, uncrossed my fingers, uncrossed everything I had. Because if she'd have told me that, I was like, Lord, increase my faith, Jesus, increase my faith. But that was a journey for us. It was a starting place for us. Notice that Eve is nowhere around. God is working with the man. Eve has not even been created. God has given him an assignment. God is telling him what his plan is. God has placed him in a place where he is to work. And in that place, he tells him there's gold there. Come on. Come on. God's going to tell you, go in this place and there's gold. Well, why do you think he's telling you there's gold there? Is he just teasing you? You know what God is saying? Everything you will need is there. The kingdom of God is within us. Is that right? Everything you will ever need is already inside you. Everything. Man, I'm about to get excited because I'm talking to me again. I'm preaching to me again. Everything you will ever need is already inside you now. When God put you, he put everything inside of you. I'm not even on my notes now. I'm just talking. I feel the Holy Ghost pulling a certain way, and we're going to ride him until we get there. Watch this. When God got ready to get everything he needed, he takes it out of the man. He's already put it in him. God has already put everything inside you. He goes and he said, now listen to me. We're going to exercise that 100% brain you have. I'm bringing you every animal, and you will name them. There was a multitude, but his mind quickly couldn't. Because he understood that in the name is the nature. In the name is the nature. Amen? So God gives you a certain name. There's a nature to it, so you'll know how to follow it. That's why we don't just name our children any kind of name. Because in the name, every time I call the name, I call for the nature. Amen? You don't name your children crazy stuff. Got a young lady, it was in my congregation, her name was Tequila. No, really. I mean, this is her name. And so it's like when you say, and this is Tequila, people, them wheels start turning. Tequila? I want to talk to your mother. Well, you already know something was up with that. Well, she was drunk. It was Tequila. Here's the thing. Every time she called for that child name. So, Adam now. What's this? Giraffe. Elephant. Leopard. He's naming them as they come in. He's exercising breath. Now, interesting because God didn't name them. Why? Because God said this. Heaven is mine, but I've given earth to men. So since God said, no, you're the authority here, you name them. You are in authority in this earth. You name them. It's not right for somebody else to name your baby. Right? What you mean you're going to name my baby? We had that baby. Now, you can make some suggestions, but it's not right for somebody else to name your baby. So watch. Even those of you who may be into real estate, you're realtors, what have you, you could own a home, but you lease it out, right? Still your home, is that right? You're leasing it, but it's still your home, is that right? Can you walk up in that house anytime you get ready? You lease it to somebody. They sign a lease. They're in the home. Can you just say, hey, this is my house. I'm walking in. What? I mean, it's your house, isn't it? No. You have a lease. You have release authority, at least for a period of time. Earth is on a lease for a period of time. Still belong to God. So man has authority here in the earth. Are you hearing? So he goes. And now Adam is naming all of these. And then Adam says, you know, excuse me, Father, we have a problem here. I've been naming all these animals, and all of them got a male and a female. We have a problem. I don't have anybody, watch this, in my class. I don't have a mate. God said, I'm glad you recognize that. Go over there and lay down. I'm going to do a little surgery on you. Watch this. He goes in the man to get the woman. Everything he needs is already in him. He goes in the man to get the woman out of the man. Now, I know the King James says ribs, but if you look at the real Hebrew word, the word there can mean rib, but it also can mean a whole side. I don't believe he just got a rib. I believe he half in him. And from the other half, he built her. And then he built this man. And notice, he finished the woman. It is so interesting, everything Father does. He brings the woman to the man. The man, the woman that the man need, he brought to her. And now he names her. God doesn't name her. Does he? She can name herself. She was made for him. I will make you a help meet. I'm going to make a help meet for you. So 1 Corinthians 11 said that the woman wasn't made for the man. I mean, man wasn't made for the woman, but the woman was made for a man. Therefore, that's why the authority comes. Watch this. So he takes the woman out of him. Adam is no longer whole as he was before. He's missing a little something. Adam is called the son. Interesting, the scripture said that the man is the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of who? Of the man. Isn't that interesting? See, we take all that light. What? Adam in himself came directly from God. He's sitting there. But the woman didn't come directly from God. She came out of man. And it's very interesting because he more fine-tuned her. So that when he came, Adam said, your name should be woman. Or as I said here before, either he was saying woman or, whoa, man. On point, God. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Right there, God. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus loved me. This I know. Right? Because what happens is this is a man, and meaning in the class of a man, not male or female. Now we're talking about, that's the class, mankind. But it is a man with a womb. A womb man. A different man. And she's not like me. She don't think like me. Yes, that should be a great amen right there. Praise God. We love them, but they don't think like we think. Sometimes we like, what? God, help me, Jesus. Because they don't think like us. And God never meant for them to. They are made to complete us. And they are made such that whatever the work God has given us, we cannot get it done accurately without them. They were made to help us. They are not inferior. They are equal. But they are opposite. You ever looked in the mirror and you look in the mirror and you do your right hand like this, or you comb your hair, your right hand, what do it look like in the mirror? Left hand, doesn't it? It's a mirror opposite. That's what the woman, that's what the really, the Hebrew word meant when he's talking about. She is a mirror, but she's opposite. That's what she is. So she fulfills a part of us we cannot fulfill. She has a part in her that we do not have, and with her, the two must become one flesh. That's what we do in our marriage. Come teach those. The two must be. It takes us to really get forth a correct image of Christ. Now, let me hear it. There's some things here I just want to show you. There's a difference between work and job. Work is what God has designed and assign an individual. The work is the primary motivator. When I'm doing my work, that's the primary motivator. A job is what a person does for money. Money is the primary motivator. Interesting, Proverbs 22 and 29. Somebody get that and read that for me real quick. Anybody. Proverbs 22, 29. In fact, we may take a couple translations. I want to show you. Oh, I got that. Lord, help me to get this. All I can do is open this up for you, gentlemen. I just want to open and get you to think in a different way than you may have thought before. Proverbs 22, 29. Anybody? Yes, sir. Brother Jack, go ahead, sir. All right, and that's the Amplified version, NIV. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. These are people in authority, if you will. And will not stand before obscure men. King James, read a little bit different. Anybody got King James? Read for me, sir, please. Okay. Unknown men, praise God. And one more translation. Anybody got a different translation we haven't heard yet? Let me have this gentleman right here. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Obscure men, same thing, unknown men. Notice when he is diligent. Now, it's very interesting. Let's take a look at this. Diligent here is the Hebrew word mahir, and it means skillful. Skillful is produced by training and application. Becoming skillful causes you to rise to the top of your field. Being dominant is in the DNA of each believer. God said, let him have dominion. There is, even in the residue. Now, we see men. Even when, if we don't get our honor legally, we'll get it illegally. Because it's in us. We were made this way. I mean, it's part of the fall. Even though we're fallen, it's still in our DNA. So God said, he crowns us with glory. He crowns us with honor. He does all of these things. And so I made this. It's in my DNA. And so when I'm skillful, when I take what God has given me and begin to really work it, it causes me to rise to the top of my field. But here's the thing, what I'm saying. But it's not only that. Romans has already told me he gives me favor. He surrounds the righteous with favor. So he gives me favor even if you and I have the same skill level. I got favor you don't if you're not born again. So I can still, you know what I'm saying? God causes me to even go over you. But this is for my work now. I'm not talking about something I have naturally alone. Now, watch this. He says that it caused you, right? If I'm going to build me a home and I have the money, who do you go hire? What carpenter, what company do you go hire? I'm building this home. This is my dream home. I have the money. The money is not the issue. So who do you go hire? The best, don't you? I'm looking for the skillful person. I'm looking for the guy not just build for money because but if I get a guy who built it, he loved to build it. He loved to build it. Building is in his DNA. Man, he's good, but he loves it. He won't cut corners. Talk to me. When he builds it, when he walks away, it has his name on it. He's like, yeah. Right? Because it's more than money to me. I don't build this just for money. This is me. My sick, I built that. And I want it to be, and especially when I'm born of God, and I want to do it for the glory of my King. When I walk away, I'm saying, Father, how is that? Because I wanted to bring you glory. Hey, God, I'm just telling you, when you get this thing, you understand this, it causes you to rise. And there's a favor on your life. And you walk in a place, and you dominate the place, not because of your pride, but my daddy sent me here. And I'm here to work for him. Now, God, get you a name while I do this. Come on. Are you hearing me? This thing is powerful. Because when I do what I was designed to do, it's not hard for me to do it. We have traveled throughout the United States. We've traveled around the world teaching. And I've never talked to anybody about how much money. It's never an issue for me. It never have been. We'll be going at the end of the month to a little country called Bonaire, down by Aruba. And the guy said, I'd really like for you to come because our history of what marriage is totally off. And I've taught, but from what I'm talking to these people, you have an anointing in that area. And I said, well, I'll come if you want. He said, we can't afford. I said, let's don't talk money. Do you believe God wants me there? Yes, then I'll come. See, God wants to put you in a position. Money is never your indicator. It's never your indicator. When I do what God calls me to do, he'll provide everything I need. I will not go out and beg to do what God called me to do. If this is my daddy and he is loaded because he is the owner of the universe, if he can't get me there, then something wrong. Now, I'm not saying there's something wrong with him. I know God can't miss it. I need to go back and do what I need to do. That's never indicator. I said, I'll come. I'll pay my way. I said, I'll pay for the hotel. He said, no, I think I can handle that part. I said, well, just let me know. All I need to know is you want me to come. See, it's a difference in work and job. It's totally different. God has called me to do something. It is unfair and unrighteous for God not to provide what I need when I work for him. Now, most of us work for companies. If you go to a company, you go up there, and then they say, now, listen, you got to get your own tools. You're going to have to get your own paper and get the paper that we're going to print your check, bring that paper in, and I'm not going to give you the ink either. What would you not walk up in there like, what? What? Let's get out of here like now. I'm coming to work for you, but you're not going to provide anything for me. Then I'm not working for you. I work. And you pay me. I'm your consultant or whatever. Is that right? If you're not going to do anything for me, then I'm not working for you. And the Lord called me to see that one time. He told me, he said, listen, when you work for me, and I'm not talking about you doing your thing. You're going to do what I tell you to do. You're going to do it the way I tell you to do it. I am responsible for everything you need to do it. Everything. And he said, I want your faith to come to that place now. But now when you work in your thing, you're on your own. Seek ye first the kingdom, his righteousness, his way of doing things, and all of that will be added. When God showed me that, when I got the revelation of that, it changed my life. That's why, again, our ministry, we just completed the 27 years, and it's been debt-free for 27 years. Never had a fundraiser. We've never borrowed a dime. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But God wants to bring us to a place of faith that if you're doing my work, I'm responsible to get you what you need. For me, it's the work. I can sit people and say, I believe that you're not in the place you need to be in God. You're more of a detriment at this point. You need to sit down. And if they leave, I can handle with that because I must give an answer to him. I'm not going to look at your bank account and see how much you're giving first. That won't move me a second. I've had people, I remember when we was on the 34th Street over there, they were controlling me with, trying to control my money. I said, you know what, God told me I need to make a change here and do something. And they said, no, you can't do it. Let's vote on it. I said, we're not voting on anything. God has given me a word. And if you can override that, then I'm not the person you are. Let's start following you. And so they left. They were the tithe payer. The folks who wasn't the tithe payer stayed. I'm like, Lord, I think we got a problem here. The money with the folks, the people that have the money left. Do you know our tithes and offering increased? And I can't tell you the day how that happened. My wife was looking and she said, do you know the money has gone up? I said, don't look too close. Leave it alone. That's God doing his thing. Leave that alone. It did. From that day, it went up. And God said, I have trained you and have told you money is never your motivator. Your heart must be right before me to do what is right. And you are to serve these people. You are not here for them to serve you. You are here to serve them because they are mine. And if you don't treat your bride right, you can't treat mine right. And I've made my mind of that a long time ago. Sometimes you give them a message like people say, yeah, you go boasting again. That's right. I'm boasting on my Father. And I will boast on him forever because from where he brought me from, when he picked this boy up who was messed up, and when he began to inform me who I was, and he said to me, nothing is impossible. I just looked in your men's bathroom there. On the wall, grand statement. Do you believe it? There's a work and there's a job. Some of you are under mammon right now. I used to be under that system. I had a job, and on Sunday evening, I would get depressed because I had to show up Monday morning. Now, you ain't got to raise your hand, but I know I'm talking to you. I'm at your house right now knocking at the door. I was depressed. I would. Sunday morning, be all right, but around about 3 or 4, it's like I know I got to go in that place tomorrow. And it would just get on me. And I'm like, you do what you have to do. It's your family. It's whatever. But I dreaded that job. But I would constantly remind myself, Father, I don't work for these people. I work for you. And so when I go up, I'm going to be the best employee they have. I'm going to have a good attitude every day because I work for you. But I knew that wasn't my work. It was a job. It's what I did to make a living. Now I'm living, making it. I don't worry about where the money's coming from. I do what I'm supposed to do. I know the principles. God has taught them to me. I know what it takes. I don't worry about the economy. I don't concern myself with it. I'm not ignorant of it. I understand? I keep abreast. I know that my people that I have are dealing with certain issues, and I need to be aware of those. We need to give certain teaching. We need to help them and aid them. But it's not a concern because everybody's faith has not made it there yet. But I work for the Lord. You can't threaten me. You can't tell me you're going to fire me. I don't work for you. I work for the Lord. And I want to let you know he's the best employer. He's my daddy. He's my father. I haven't really stuck to my notes the way I wanted to, but I felt I've begun to open your understanding to some things that God wanted you to see and to understand. Some of you are laboring. You're laboring so diligent. Some of you, if you tell the truth, you've been angry with God because he looked like he got his favors. Here's old Joe Jumbo over there. He ain't hardly doing nothing. He walk around, got that nice house, and here I am, God, trying to serve you and do what you say, and I'm struggling like I don't know what. But you still fear him enough that you don't start to come in there talking crazy. See, that ain't God. Before the foundation of the world, he foreknew you, and he designed you to do something in particular that will serve this generation. What if you have the job and you make $1 million, you're a millionaire, millions of dollars, and you have the big house, you have all that, and you get to heaven and God said, that ain't what I had. None of it counts. You impressed me. The world was very impressed with you. Pflugerville and Round Rock and Austin was very impressed with you. But God said, it doesn't even count. It won't stand the fire. I'm going to burn it up. I don't want to do that. I want to hit what he made me to do. And when I do that thing, praise God, man, I'll travel around the world to do it because I get a chance to do what I love to do. I want to bless him right now. I love the Lord. I love what he's shown me, revealed to me. And men of God, it is time for us to come to a place that we say, God, what is my assignment? What decision can I make that will bring you the greatest glory? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says something very important. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Well, this is my body. I can do whatever I want to. Well, then you must not give it to God yet. That's his body. He bought it with his own blood. You can't do anything you want to do with your body. It don't belong to you. And if it do, then why are you talking to him when he gets sick? It's his body. My life is no longer my own. Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith. It's an important thing you understand today. You come to a place that God, I wished, and maybe God will give me another opportunity. I really would like to go into something, and I show you. Jesus, speaking to the Jews, said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm free to serve him, to do whatever God wants me to do, to be whatever he wants me to be, to come wherever God wants me to go. And it's the most powerful thing to me. We have another ministry, much like Pastor Mike, we call it Living by Precept Ministries. That's what we travel under. And really was an idea started initially from my wife, and then we fulfilled it, and it's been such a blessing. That's what we print our books under and all those things. But that ministry also is debt-free. It has been debt-free from the inception, still debt-free, and it's what we travel. When we get ready to go, it's no issue. That's why when we go, it's not an issue for me. I don't want money to ever be an issue for me to go somewhere. I just want to know, is it God? Do you understand? I just want to know, Father, is this what you want me to do? That's all I want to know. Because if I do it, he'll keep adding to that account. He will. But if I'm doing it and it's on my own, then I got to do whatever I got to do. Can we just stand? I just want to pray, just a quick prayer. I'm going to give it back to Pastor Mike. I just hope I've said something here that has at least started you to thinking. I want you to know it's available, not by me, but by God. I don't look to the world for my mark. I look to Christ. I don't look for my values or what they think. Because I understand that as we draw closer to the end of time, there's going to be a great difference between light and darkness. I don't know if you know it or not, but if you are a born-again believer, you are marked. This society is beginning to hate Christians like you've never known before. And either at this time, it's going to be a time we're going to stand up. We're going to be men of God. Because wherever the darkness is, as we know, grace much more abound. But this world is getting wickeder. And if you and I are going to make a stand for God, we're not going to look like the world. We're not going to fit into their little patterns. That's why everywhere Jesus went, there was a ruckus. Because he didn't fit their little form. Even the religious people, did you notice that? He didn't fit it. In the name of Jesus, I pray that there will be an opening of your mind and your understanding like you've never known before. That you were planned for. Many times our parents didn't plan for us. But God chose who would come. And he chose you for this time to affect this generation. There is something that's so deep inside of you that is so unique that no other man have it quite like you. And when you begin to operate in that thing, whatever, and again, there's no limit to the feel of whatever it is. God said, I want to show up in that area. I want to show the world
what I would do if I'm an executive. Here's how I would operate. If I'm a carpenter, this is how I would do it, because you know he was. If I'm a judge, this is how I would operate. I would be righteous and fair. I don't know where you are right now, but I pray that there will begin to be a stirring and a hunger in your heart for not your job, but for your work. I pray you will begin to say, Lord, show me. I don't want to assume. I don't want to presume. Because whatever you have, money will never be the issue. The goal is already there in that garden. All I have to do is work my garden. All I need to do is be in my garden. Because if I'm out of my garden, then the angels put the flame there. Because otherwise I will go in and pollute it. I must come to a place. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for such a revelation like never before. You got, wherever they begin to look into the word of God, they will begin to see your hand. Father, bring us each to a place that our life bring you much glory and honor. That we're not here wondering how the world is impressed with us. But what decisions can we make as men to bring you the greatest glory? Help each one of us to live our life such that we can look at our wife and look at our children and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And know that we are setting the example, because we're not in that home to represent ourselves. We're there to represent you to our children and to our wives. Father, minister your grace now. Let there be such a movement of your spirit in our hearts. Stamp us so that we will never, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor Mike.